Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another night in the Red Room Radio. This is your host, Shelly L. Brooks. I just want to say I thank everyone for joining us in the Red Room. I ask that you please excuse my voice. If you listened to our show last week, you know that I was a little under the weather, and I still am, but it was so hard for me to slip in the corner on my tea another week, so I had to come out and just join my awesome co-host and just hope that everybody can just listen past my voice with message, because, as you know, tonight we are going to discuss part two of the four steps to go from single to in a relationship. I want to introduce my co-host, James. I call him the hardest working man in the DMV, because him and Vic Love held the show down last week, and I thank them so much for everything. James, how you doing tonight?
I am doing awesome.
Awesome. That is always you. I'm telling you, I mean, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I mean, I sat back and I listened last week to the show, and it was so hard for me to just listen and not say anything, because y'all basically, y'all coined the phrase, y'all did the damn thing. And I so appreciate everything that y'all did. We're waiting on Vic Love. He's about to swing the door wide open to come into the Red Room. I know he's going to at any moment. When he gets in, I just need him to just press that button on his phone, and we're going to swing the doors open for him to be here. So, I know last week we went through the whole snow situation on the East Coast. If y'all are listening from anywhere else, it was so totally crazy here. I mean, I didn't anticipate the snow that we got, and it was like a real case of cabin fever. So I'm sure I wasn't the only person that experienced it. But we are out of the snow, we are back into somewhat of a normal lifestyle. So we can kind of just move forward from that. But I know there's going to be some fallout, because I have to tell y'all, the Scarlet Envelope tonight, I think this one is going to just be one that a lot of people can relate to, if not personally one-on-one from what the letter was about, but just they kind of was in a situation similar to it. James, I know you saw the letter, so, I mean, we talked about it, and you were like, yeah, that was a good one, so I'm excited to get to that point. This one's going to be good. This one's really, really going to be good. So let's go ahead and just do a recap of the part one of the show. We talked about how to go from being single to in a relationship. And it seems like it's an easy process, but I think when you've had someone, or you've known someone, or even been someone yourself that has been in that single place for a while, you don't anticipate what it's going to take for you to get back to that place of, you know, being in a relationship. So, you know, I know James, you and Victor, and I think Victor's here. I just saw him come through the door. Victor, what's happening, man?
Hey. What's going down?
I mean, it's going down because, you know, I'm sounding like crap, but I'm here. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just hoping everybody can just listen past my voice, but I couldn't stay out of the Red Room for long. But we were just kind of doing a recap of the last show where we did the part one of going from, you know, being single to in a relationship. And I think for women, it's a little bit different. And I may be wrong. So from a male perspective, I really would like to hear if someone, you know, a man can say it's no different from being, you know, single for a long period of time than it is for a woman. But I came across an article that gave kind of like some information that helps, I guess, a man understand, or, you know, whoever it is that's been single for a long time, that it comes with challenges. It's a transition from being completely independent to having someone around, which is a huge adjustment. And, you know, that person's harder. They're a hard nut to crack. You know, you got to figure that person out, and you'll realize through that process of figuring them out, which is the process of the dating that we talked about before, you know, it'll definitely be worth it. Because when you find someone who's been single for a long period of time, they've had time to assess a lot of things. They've had time to assess their last relationship and the relationships prior to that. They've had time to make that decision to say, there's some things that I need to work on within myself before I move forward. They've had time to just decide what it is I don't want and what it is I do want. So that time sometimes we look at as being a negative place or a bad place for that single person to be in really is the investment that they have made in themselves to be that almost perfect person to see as the next person to be in a relationship with. But these are some things that need to be understood, and it probably is from a male perspective as well as from a female perspective. This person is used to alone time. They're used to, you know, completing a lot of life tasks and managing things and doing things solo. And then having someone to do those things with at first can be somewhat foreign. It's almost like you've done it for so long and then there's this other person. You have to realize that there's someone else that fits into my decision-making factors. It's something as simple as if you want to watch a movie, the single person goes to Netflix or goes to Redbox or just decides this is what I want to watch tonight. But when that person has someone else that that decision has to be made with, they have to learn how to say, what would you like to watch? Or can we decide something together? So it's a process of just knowing and understanding that that alone time has to be adjusted. This is another a big piece. That person that has been single for a long time has protective walls in place. And it could be because that person has been hurt before, which may be the reason why that person has spent a lot of time on their own. So they become more in tune with what their needs are instead of what the needs of their partner are. So you've got to respect the fact that they're walls. And what I heard from a person a while ago was, you know, when you meet a person who has those walls, it doesn't mean that they're not open, that they're not available. It just means you're going to have some work to do. If they're worth it, then it's worth breaking down those walls slowly, little by little, showing them that they can that you can be trusted, showing them that you know, can be the person that they can share their life with instead of just simply saying, oh, you got walls up, never mind, you must have issues. A person who has walls does not mean they have issues. It's just that place that they put themselves in to protect themselves from going back to a bad relationship or a past relationship that they don't want to re-enter into again. It's almost like, you know, they say, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you break down a person's wall? One action at a time. Not with the words, it's with the action, and it's very important. The other thing is that person who's been single for a long time knows that they're vulnerable, so it's going to take a little bit more time. So you're going to have to understand that time is a key factor. If she's dating you or if he's dating you, it's because they really like you, because they've had chances to say one date, never mind. So if you get past the second date and past the third date, no one understands that's a privilege to a person who's been single for a long time. She's also incredibly strong, and him as well, because, you know, men have a tendency to depend on women for certain things, but then when he has a woman in his life, those things he learns to do for himself. He doesn't need her to do those things. So you have to understand the independence that a person takes on because they're single. And that person is scared. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, James, have you ever been in a situation, or Victor, I know, you know, you've been in a dating world before. I know you're married, but you've been in a dating world before. You've had a past relationship, and you walk into a situation, and you say, you know, I really like this person, but I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm going to get hurt. So you feel that sense of fear, which makes you scared to open up. I mean, do you think that's something that really happens with men, or is that more something that happens with women?
Both. I believe it's one because, well, for me personally, you know, I'm a different breed, so I'm a little special sometimes. But, I mean, I've done that.
Y'all can't make me laugh because if I laugh, I'm going to cough. So I'm going to try so hard not to laugh.
Well, you better get the coffee. You might be rolling.
Oh, Lord.
But no, like, for me personally, like, I just had this conversation with somebody about 2 weeks ago, and I think I mentioned it a little bit last week. Like, I told the person, so, you know, there are certain things that I've dealt with in my past that I'm scared to go through again. And not, let me not say scared. It's just something I'm trying to avoid going through. And I do understand that you can't really avoid going through everything that you went through before. There are certain things you have control over, certain things you don't. So, I mean, yeah, being hurt is scarce for anybody. So you don't want to do that, you know? I mean, I think it's on both sides of the fence.
I agree with that one.
Okay, so from a female's perspective, let's just say she's dating a man that has been single for a long time. She has to respect the fact that he may be fearful of being hurt. We as women cannot walk around and think that we're the only ones that have been hurt. Men's hurt, too. And I think sometimes, as we had this conversation in another show, who heals faster from, you know, a bad relationship, men or women, I really think men take a little bit longer to heal from it if they really and truly address the issue and deal with it. So a man, from either perspective, male or female, they have to understand that there can be a certain sense of fear that comes into play when the dating gets to the point where it's like, okay, I really like this person, but what do I do now? And some people deal with it differently. Some people say, okay, I'm going to jump in, you know, with both feet, and then some people will withdraw, they'll back off, because it's like, now I'm starting to emotionally feel something, so now I'm afraid, so I step away. And that could result in, you know, less frequent calls or, you know, which things that you can tell are excuses why we can't get together anymore, or, no, I'm busy, I got this meeting tonight, or whatever. You have to understand and recognize that sometimes it could be fear. And the last thing is, with each person, no one understands that if you've been single for a while, that person has gone beyond the need of someone in their life. There are some people that need, and when I say need, I say it with all capital letters, because they can't handle being alone. So they will choose someone that's the next person because they can't deal with that being alone. But when a person who has been single for a long time, when you step into their world, no one understands. They don't need you. They choose you. So recognize it for what it is. And if that person has chosen to invest that her time or his time and take a chance with you, it's from the purest form of affection. So you can't just take it for granted. So if that person has spent time getting to know what she wants, and if you're the one that she picked or he picked, then congratulations, because that person is definitely a keeper. So I just wanted to kind of go over that to recap what it is that we kind of talked about for the last on the last show, and then go to the next step, which is step three, the commitment. So now you have dated this person for an amount of time. You realize that you have things in common. You realize that that person is mentally, emotionally connected with you. This is someone that you want to continue spending time with. I wanted to talk about something that I think that most people don't think about, and that, how do you open the door to the conversation of, I want to take this to the next level and be in a committed relationship? How does that conversation start? Because I don't think people really know how to have that conversation, because I think at some point what happens is that whole thought process becomes misconstrued, and you assume that's where you are in the dating process. And then when things go wrong, here comes the, well, we never talked about that. You've been dating for 2 months. Where in that process of the 2 months, does it become what I want from this is a commitment? Because, you know, that conversation could go one of two ways. It could chase the person off, or it could evolve into something long-term, lasting, which both people want. But I think it's that uncomfortable conversation that most people don't know how to have or don't even know how to start. What do you think? I know. It's one of those,
Well, Shelly, I think it's one of those things that's unsaid. It's more of a, it's not talked about much. It's either, you know, it's like a feeling that they have within each other that they don't speak about. But, and that's where the things are misconstrued, because you think one thing and one person's not feeling that way, another person's feeling it that way. So at that point, people need to start letting each other know what they're actually feeling when it comes to a commitment. They don't talk about it much. They'll assume, and that's when he's right. That's when they get misconstrued. So it's not said much. Now people are sitting around. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not gonna put a color on it, but I don't think black people do that. The more of a Caucasian family, they always discuss about how they're doing stuff. You know, they make plans like, hi honey, you thinking we're gonna have sex tonight? Until about 7 o'clock. You know, you know what I'm saying? They you know, that's what they do. And I mean, not to make anybody feel bad, but that's just true. What it is. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, you know, African American or, you know, Spanish people, shoot, they just, you know, it just automatically goes with the flow. It's not more of a play by play action, you know. It doesn't go that way. So like you said, it's unsaid.
Yes. Do you think it's something that should be discussed in the beginning dating stage? Because it's almost like first date is getting to know, second date is getting to know. At what point do you determine whether or not this is, at what point do you communicate, I'm not looking for just dating, I'm interested in a relationship? How do you communicate that without scaring the other person off?
I think you could do that on the first date. I mean, you know, I always use personal references to play. Me personally, if I'm meeting somebody and, you know, we're going out, the first initial date is, you know, starting to get to know each other. So you want to put out there on the forefront what it is that you're looking for, because I don't want to go on a second date with you if, you know, we're not looking for someone of the same thing. Like, if you tell me, you know, you're looking for a relationship, and I tell you, well, I am, but not so soon, but they're looking for something soon, then, you know, that gives me the decision to say, well, do I want to continue to forth with this dating situation, or do I just want to nip it in the butt now and say, hey, well, I think you're moving on a fast pace from what I'm ready for, so let's just be friends, or let's just end this now. So, I mean, you have to discuss it at some point.
Right, but that's where it gets so complicated, because, I mean, me personally, let's just say I meet a guy, we go out first date, and we have that conversation about, you know, where we are in our life, what it is that we're looking for, you know, and do you have that conversation on the first date? I mean, me personally, I think so, because if you're not interested in anything long term, I need to know that before I waste my time. I don't care what restaurants you take me to. I don't care what wonderful, awesome experience I have with you. If I'm looking for something long term, I don't want to give you I need to let you know that up front. But then again, it also could be setting a stage for disaster, because you might not even like the person, and that's what they're looking for, but you realize you don't like them enough to continue on with the dating. So what do you do? It's almost like it's a catch-22 type situation. You want to let the person know what it is that you're looking for, but you don't want to scare them off, and you don't want to lead them on.
But that's true, Shelly, but let me just tell you one thing.
Like, damned if I do and damned if I don't.
Right, but Shelly, listen. If it seems like when you first meet somebody and the dates, you know, when it's brand new and a person's scared to, you're talking about that, they're scared to make anything like a negative. You know what I'm saying? So that wouldn't be a thing they would bring up because it brings out too much emotion at the same time. And people are not upfront like that. I mean, sometimes when you meet a person for the first time, as their representative, they don't tell a good side of them. They don't. So to get that deep into it, you're right. It would scare a person off, you know, quickly, because people are just trying to say all the right things. You know what I'm saying? You know, in the beginning stages, you know, they don't say the negative part. You learn that later about a person. So. I don't think it comes up as frequent as we might think.
It should.
You know,
it doesn't.
Because it just won't. That's really deep. That brings the relationship or the conversation to a different, whole different, you know, it could be, like you said, a disaster. It could be from a great outcome to a really bad one. And you would know quickly if a person... Because people are going to say if they're not really waiting, ready to be in a committed relationship when they first say, hi, I'm Victor, your name's Shelley. Hey, I'm in a committed relationship. They're not going to do that. That's just not going to happen. They're going to say things more in a way to keep things, you know, the conversation on another level. They're not going to get that deep. And if you get that deep, then, hey, more power to them. But it doesn't really happen on the first day.
Okay. So let's just say by the next date you realize, okay, first date, I met this person. That person's really great. I like to meet them a second time. And see, I'm about open communication. I'm that kind of person where I believe that if you say what you mean and you mean what you say, it cuts down on people wondering and trying to figure out. So for me personally, if after the first date, I'm not interested in ever seeing you again. I think at the end of the date, and James, you know, we've had these conversations because there have been some first dates where it's like I want to take my cell phone and slam it up against the wall and hope that it erases your number. I want to block your number. You presented yourself as so great, but sitting down and having a conversation with you makes me understand you're a horror story, and I don't want to be a part of it, so... I'd rather just move on and pretend you never existed. But I have to be able to say that in a nice way. And I think that's one of the things that we have to learn, that in the dating process, and I know we're kind of going back to step one, but in the dating process, you need to be open and honest. At that point, you should never lead a person on to think that they can continue on in whatever process it is that you want to continue. They're eliminated. It's just like trying out for a sports team. Because the initial process of dating, to me, that's what it's like. You have experience how to play the game, but do you fit in on my team? And if you don't, I need to let you know, after your first initial tryout, you're cut. Doesn't mean that you're not you may not work for any other team. It does not mean that you don't have the skills required to accomplish that goal. But for my team, I'm
not going to work.
It's
you
not
cold,
work.
Shelley.
You're cut.
But it's
I'm not
cold, though.
I'm not cold. I'm honest. Because the one thing that no man will ever be able to say about me is I let him off. No man will ever be able to say that about me. I don't hurt your feelings. I am very... I know how to do it in a very diplomatic way, in a very sympathetic or empathetic or whatever. I just know how to say it in a way that I enjoyed the time that I had, but I think that this is going to be the last time that we'll see each other, and it may not be you, it may be me. I think that's lying. People say, oh, it's not you, it's me. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's me. It's me choosing to say you're not going to work for me.
Right, but I'm saying why every relationship, does every court according have to be a relationship?
No, it doesn't.
I'm saying,
but
do you ever just think that you're into something? I'm saying, and dating. Is there ever a reason if you're consenting adults and you just want to just have sex? And you don't want no commitment. How about that part?
It needs to be communicated. It needs to be communicated. It needs to be communicated.
Okay.
Because what if you're just, okay. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
No, every dating situation doesn't have to lead to a relationship. I don't think people have a problem with the whole dating that doesn't lead to a committed relationship. I think it's a whole hell of a lot of people out there that's doing just that now. They're hookups. They're
right now. Right now, as we
they
speak. They're looking at us and they're doing
right
their thing.
Now, right now, while we in the red room, there's somebody that's having a friends with benefits experience, but they don't even care if they don't talk to each other 3 days from now. That works for them.
Sure ain't me.
And I'm not mad about that, because if that's what they want in their life, then go get it. Do you. But at some point, it obviously has to have been communicated, that's all I want right now. And it's easier to communicate that than it is to communicate. And that's the part that bothers me. Because I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've not had a situation where that was personally communicated with me. Okay, that's what you're looking for. And maybe at some point in my life, that's what I was looking for. I'm not going to say it was or it wasn't. But at least that person was upfront and honest with me about it. No,
okay.
No fake, no shade.
Yeah.
But it's easier to say that than it is to say, I'm not interested in dating that does not lead to a relationship.
This is true.
That's where that hard conversation comes in. Because it's either going to say, oh, she's desperate. Oh, she's looking for a man. And at a certain age, oh, she's looking for a woman. And don't let the woman have some young kids, because now the thought process is, oh, she's looking for a baby daddy. But why couldn't it just be a woman who says, I don't want to waste my time with you for dating. I don't need somebody to call. I don't need a Jody to call when the kids are asleep. And I got, you know, some twitching and things going on in myself that I need to be fixed. Why does it have to be that girl? Why can't it be that girl that says, I'm not interested in the wasteful dating. If it's not going to lead to something, then you're not the person that I wish to date. That conversation about commitment and what we want out of life, and I'm not just saying for women, because there are some men out there that are just like that. They're not looking for a little side chick. They're not looking for somebody to just answer the phone when they call and, hey, can you come over? Can I drop by your house? That's not what they're looking for. But to have that conversation, it's so difficult. That's the hardest step, in my opinion. We had the four steps, getting ready, dating. This one we're talking about, the commitment. That is the hardest step, because the next step is easy. We're going to get to the next step. I think step three is the hardest in that whole process of going from being single to in a relationship, because people are either afraid to communicate it or they don't know how to. And that's just my opinion. I think that's where the translation gets lost.
It also depends on the person that you're relaying that to.
That's a major
difference. I just feel they're thinking about it as much as they need to. Like you said, it should be a major part of the whole thing, Shelley, and you read about that. But I don't think it's spoken about, like communicated as often, you know, in the words that's supposed to be. I think people assume that, hey, yeah, we're together. Instead of saying, hey, where are we taking this? Are we taking this, are we committed to one another? Some people, when it's not said and spoke about, where you wanted to speak about, that's where it's misconstrued. And that's when people have the wrong thought process of the relationship. You know.
Victor, I like what you just said. I like what you just said.
I would like what I say a lot too. I'm just kidding. What I say?
Y'all can't make me laugh. Victor, seriously, I like what you said, because you said, are we committed to each other? And I think that is, I like that question. I think that needs to be a question that we put in our list of things that we discuss. Because when you ask that question, if that person can't say yes or no, that tells you one or two things. It tells you what their intent was from the beginning and where they are in the dating process. Because if one person asked that question, so are we in that place now where we're committed to each other? I think it's a subtle way of asking. It's not saying, hey, are we ready to get married in the next 6 months? I think it's a subtle way of asking, are we entering the next phase of our relationship or the next phase of our dating, which is leading into a relationship? But I like that. I've got to write that down, because I think that is a question that we need to put in our list of questions that we ask when we're dating. So are we committed to each other now?
Find out. Because I need to know.
I know. It's almost like I'm so excited, because I can't wait to get to that point when I can ask that question.
What was it? Are we committed?
Are we committed to each other now? Are we at that phase where we're committed to each other now?
I'm going to tell you what the response is when I get a response back.
Yeah, well, he asked tonight, but some people think that you know, by having a sexual encounter, it's commitment, and they get that misconstrued. It's not the truth unless you let it know, be known what it is. You know, you got people that just having
exactly
kinds of sexual relationships, and they're not even definitely not committed to each other. They committed on
exactly.
the sexual part. But they're not committed on going the next step to be committed to one another.
Exactly.
You know, they, and
I love
that.
I think that is that. Oh my gosh! I know this show is supposed to be about helping others, and I think we all help ourselves a lot of times in these in the radio show. But it is definitely one of those situations where that is a piece that we take away. And anybody that's listening to this show, I would love to hear feedback from anybody that uses that question and see how, what kind of response that they get. I love that. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so
line,
now we get that response. I know.
I have a little bit of response.
If anybody has something that they would like to add to that, I know Victor just threw a piece of information out there that is like, wow, because it so was for me. But please remember, press 1 on your phone if you would like to join us and speak on the show tonight. Now, the next step, Victor, you gave us a question. So this is a thing that has bugged me. It just bugs me. And maybe when I was younger, it didn't bother me, but now at my age and being single and dating, I'm curious as to how we can step away from the adolescent title. Because I can guarantee you, if I ask that question and somebody says, yes, I would like for us to be committed to each other. And I'm doing my little, can you hear my little happy clap? I need to understand that I need to make sure, and for anybody to understand, I hate titles that are somewhat adolescent. I don't like, this is my girlfriend, oh, that's my boyfriend, because I'm sorry. At 51 years old, I just think boyfriend is so adolescent. I would like for us to come up with something a little bit more creative. Because Victor, trust and believe, when I meet that guy, if I introduce you to him and I call him, hey, Victor, this is my boyfriend, you're going to look at me with a side eye, your head turned sideways to be like, little girl. Excuse me.
No,
I'm sorry. Thank you. I tried to hold it and I couldn't.
But you can say that and say, this is my boo. That's my boo.
No. I can't do boo.
That's my snookum.
No. If I introduce you to a guy, that's my boo, my snookum, my bae. Oh, I hate bae. Oh, my God. That is just like, oh.
Did you say
like,
daddy?
Seriously. Bae. That's
term
that my bae.
Yeah,
no. I really would like to just take my hand and smack across the lips to whoever it was that decided.
That's your body of water?
Really? Where did it come from? It's
I mean,
so
yeah,
I
say it jokingly, but.
My bae?
That's
the equivalent of somebody running their fingernails down the chalkboard to me. Boo, I hate that too, but.
So how are you worded? How would you introduce your committed partner?
Your significant other.
That's my committed partner. This is my committed partner. That shit sounds crazy. So how would you want to say it? Tell America.
I don't mean no harm. If I have to just introduce you, my thing is this. I don't think people really need titles. I think when you introduce someone to a person, that chemistry that they have amongst each other, it'll be easily conveyed. So you won't have to wonder, oh, is this just one of her boys? Because, I mean, when I introduce people to my guy friends, nobody has to question whether or not, oh, is this somebody she's dating? I just simply introduce you as, hey, this is my friend such and such. This is, you know, Victor. Victor, this is whatever. Or it's my godbrother or my brother or whatever. I think if you just simply say this is and not give him a title or give her a title, people will understand, especially if it's people that you know, or even if you don't know, who the hell cares? If you introduce them, let's just say you go to your Christmas party or your summer picnic or whatever, and you meet your coworkers, and they don't really know what your life is like outside of work, and they see you with this guy or they see you with this girl, and they're like, ooh, Shirley's with somebody. James is with somebody. And you just simply introduce them, hi, Sally, this is Robert. Do you have to say, this is Robert, my boyfriend, my partner, my significant other, or whatever?
But some people have to make it known who these people are. Like, my potential friend, when I introduce him to, you know, my circle of friends, I just simply say, hey, this is so-and-so, and then this is the crew. That was it. My friends know how I am. They know when I'm dealing with somebody on that level. So it just depends on who you introduce them to. Now, if I were to go to a company, that I'm not going to say, oh, this is my boyfriend so-and-so. This is so-and-so, and this is my company.
You need to tell them exactly who they are, because you got some grimy-ass friends that this is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too.
They thirsty as hell. They old shit. Did you say this is Rob? This is James. You better say something. You better claim him, because now you'd be looking at the water cooler and he'd be like, done. You'd be done. You better tell the truth. Shit. You better say, hey, that's my boo. Don't touch him, because there's some thirsty ass people out there.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. No. So you got to have a different way to introduce the person to you.
I think maybe you say, hey, Shelly, this is Rebecca, and you give a nice kiss on the lips. And then they know that it's not just Rebecca, because it could be cousin Rebecca, and she everybody liking her. You got to be careful. I think you better start finding some labels. I'm serious. People are thirsty and they're hungry.
I used to be mad.
I
know.
You'd be mad. You're sitting in the water cooler crying because you ain't introduced them right. You better tell them thirsty people who that one is.
But you know what? Yes. My thing is the best test is to introduce, to put somebody around for thirsty folks, because if you can't handle yourself around them, you're not going to be able to handle yourself, period. So if I bring you around in an environment where it's a lot of my female friends or associates, because, you know, y'all know my circle of friends is so small, I almost deleted myself. So I don't have a large circle of friends. But when you take somebody around a group of people and they are thirsty, because sometimes you can have some undercover thirsty folks. You don't even know they're thirsty until they meet somebody you with, because you've been single for a long time. Let's keep in mind, we're talking about a person who has been single for a while, and now they're stepping into a relationship. They're your friend. They ain't cool with you. They don't have a problem with you because you've been by yourself, and they've been secretly sitting back saying, she ain't got nobody. I got him over here. I got that over there. But then when you meet somebody, you know, they got Pookie and Ray Ray that they've been hanging out with, but then you meet Dexter St. Jock. Now they're thirsty friends.
That name.
You don't even know how they're going to respond. But my thing is this. If they know this is who you're dealing with now and he can't handle himself, that's another test that he's going to have to go through. I'm just saying, it can't be that you got to hide who you're with. But I totally understand what you're saying, Victor, because you do have the thirsty ones that come out of the woodwork, and you're like, well, where did that come from? And they, you know, they respond in a different way. So I don't know. It's just the title thing that just kind of makes me think that we need to do something different with how we label each other when we move from that dating phase to in a relationship. I just know at this stage in my life, I hope nobody calls me no girlfriend, because when I was 17, somebody called me a girlfriend. And at 51, I don't want to be somebody's girlfriend. Just don't give me a title. I'm Shelly. And if you can't tell the role that I play in that person's life, that person doesn't know the role that I play in their life, just don't give me a label. Because the only label I think at this point in my life I need is I'm Shelly, and if I choose to say yes, then I'm the wife. But we ain't going to move that fast, because I'm going to go back to that scared place. But
you really going to scare somebody.
No, I'm not saying that's what I'm asking for. But I'm saying I will be nameless, other than I will be titleless. I have no problem being titleless. None whatsoever. Now, I do like the title fiancé. This means that we've gotten to that place where we decided that we're going to take this to the next level of marriage, to the commitment level. But y'all know that fiancé title is used so damn loosely that it's almost like it's just ridiculous, because there's no way in the hell you're supposed to be somebody's fiancé for 6 years.
I was getting ready to say that, because I hate that
3 years.
Because people use it so loosely.
2 years. 2 years. All I want to know is how long does it take to plan a wedding? It takes 6 years to plan a wedding. They don't want you to sell a cheap ass ring, and you walk around, oh yeah, that's my fiance. Well, the ring only costs $99.99, and what you don't understand is all he did was slap that ring on your finger to cut you off from everybody else while he still do what he wants to do.
Shut you up.
But you his fiance 4 years, 5 years later. Because I'm a firm believer. If you really want to be married and have that commitment, I don't think it costs, I don't know how much it costs now, but you can go to the courthouse and for $50 you could be married. And that's all it is. So let's not do that whole, that's my fiance for 6 years. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent.
I agree.
I'm sorry, Victor. Did I just? Did I go too far?
I'm trying to figure out how you're going to let them thirsty ass. You ain't never explained to me how you can tell a thirsty ass person that's just not Ronald. That's somebody, you know, how are you going to explain it? Because they thirsty. Especially if they don't know that you ain't been with nobody. You know, you've been single for a long time. You know, they shocked. They want you to be just like them, lonely and single. But if you bring Ronald to the party and just say, hey, this is Ronald, and don't tell them no extra thing, then guess what? They're going to think Ronald is for sale. You better let them know something. They be sliding numbers to Ronald like a mug. Ronald, can I get you a drink? Ronald, can I show you where the bathroom's at? Ronald, can I do this? Ronald, can I do that? You'd be shorter than a mosquito skin.
Straight to make that.
No. So I think through that action, I think actions will kind of explain that. All right, y'all, let's move to the next step. All I know is we got to find a title around the boyfriend because I can't stand a boyfriend title. When you was young, that's fine. But, and then even significant other is okay. This is my thing. But then other is.
That's my soulmate, Steven.
Oh, God. Then you get into the whole soulmate thing, and people look at you like, oh, God, they've been smoking weed, and they see colors, and they're crazy.
Hey, Shelly, anybody on the line? I know some people don't want to talk about this. It's getting kind of flying. I know we got somebody on the line ready to talk to us.
I think, okay, I'm going to be honest. I think right now everybody that's on the call with us, nobody's wanting to speak. So I think we're just kind of enlightening them to the point where it's like, and they're just not quite sure. But that's okay because we'll keep it moving. Because I'm sure at this next step we're going to have some conversation.
Yeah.
So. Step four, you have step three, we've decided we in this committed relationship because Victor has said this is what we need to say in that conversation. So are we now committed to each other? God, dude, that came out so easy for me. Y'all, I think I'm ready, seriously. Okay, so we've asked the question, so now are we committed to each other? And the girl says it with a cute face and a smile with the head tilted to the side, almost touching her shoulder. And he looks at her and he either decides, you're running game on me, or yes, you're that person. And he says, yes, we are. The next step is the intimacy. So now... I'm saying these in the steps that says that step three comes first and step four doesn't come before step three. But there are some situations where step three might come before step four. And we're going to take this way back to the beginning of the Red Room where we talked about that rule, you know, Steve Harvey and his 90-day rule, and I love Steve to death, and I've just come to have a whole new respect for him, but
90 days of what?
90 days, no intimacy.
That's
90 whole days.
That's the worst rule ever.
That's 12 dates once a week, if you only date one. For 3 months, once a week. 12 days.
That's terrible. For me.
I'm just saying. When does that come into play? Is it one of those situations where, you know, I think it really is asked backwards that you get to step four and you haven't asked the Victor question. Because now that's going to be the big love question. The big love question of the day is, so are we committed to each other? That's the big love question.
Right. But But let me tell you something. I know
it could go,
that's a good question.
It could go to hell in a handbasket if you get to step four first before you get to step three. Because can you imagine if you at step four and then 2 weeks later you ask the Vic Love question from step three and you get the answer, no, what made you think that?
Well, I'm saying sometimes, Shelly, at number four,
mm-hmm.
sometimes ain't good shit. You might take back number three. So the worst feeling in the world is to go into a relationship and the sex is horrible.
Oh my gosh, you almost made me spit my drink
across. I mean, this is Red Room Radio with Shelly, James and Vic Love. Let's tell the truth.
The sex is bad. I can't do nothing with you.
Huh? Right, James?
The sex is bad. I can't do nothing with you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
How are you going to answer
you committed and then you go around and you say, yes, I'm committed. And then you go in the bedroom and woo-wee. It's like, what the hell happened? That commitment will be dead. You will be committed. You done committed suicide. No,
shit. I can't do this tonight.
I know, but think about it. Think about that.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Hard.
I'm
serious.
Wow.
I know. And that's terrible.
Oh, he did not say that. You done committed suicide.
That's like the bomb guy, right? And everything's great. He looks good. He sounds good. He talks good. He got a little bit of bread. He got everything going on. And you are love. And you say, oh, you committed, you commit. And the next thing you know, you go into the bedroom. And he man, it's like, what happened? You'd be sad. You'd be the most saddest committed person I ever seen in my life.
Wow.
You got erectile dysfunction. It takes about everything you need to get him right. How committed would you be then, Shelly? Quiet.
Okay. No.
Answer the question. I'm gonna be completely honest.
And I think it's just the steps are designed to be so that, you know, you get the greatest result from what it is that you're looking for. But I think if we go back to the show where we did the whole conversation about the 90-day rule, I made it perfectly clear. I'm sorry. People can say things, and I don't think they're being 100% honest with what they're saying. But, you know, in the real world, we keep it real, we keep it honest. And I don't think anybody judges us because we don't judge anybody else. If the sex is bad, the relationship is not going to be great. I'm not going to say that it's not something that would be a deal breaker, but if you have to break down all of the characteristics that a person needs to be in a fulfilling relationship, I think we're lying to ourselves if we don't say that the intimacy part, that the sex part does not weigh at least 40%. You got to have at least 40%. If they down to 10% or 20%, I don't care how committed you're going to be to me.
You ain't going to be committed to them.
I'm not a cheater, so I mean that's just not who I am. I mean, if it ain't working for me, I will tell you it's not working for me. I'm just not going to cheat on you.
Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself, honey.
But I'm not going to cheat myself, so that's why I will be open and honest about it. That's one of those. That's that gray area that I think we really need to be honest with ourselves about, and maybe it should be a test before we ask that question. Maybe four should be before three. How about that, y'all?
I should.
Maybe we should change it
Maybe four should be like number one.
Maybe four. Oh, damn, not number one.
I'm going to tell you one thing.
I can't, because I had some dates that I couldn't get past. I don't care how good the sex was. I couldn't get past looking at you and listening to what comes out of your mouth, because I have to have conversation. I don't care how good the sex is. I need to at least be able to have a conversation with you. Because if this conversation is horrible and the sex is great, all you're going to be is a phone call. That's it. I ain't going to lie about it. And I'm not even
All right, well, then you get a committed relationship with somebody that they get horrible sex, and you get a phone call, so you be fulfilled.
I can't take you, Victor. Oh, my gosh. I can't take you. Why are you confused in my life right now?
I'm not confused. I'm confused.
No.
I think,
seriously, though, but you're right. If the sex is not... And we don't want to talk about this. This is the thing that just really drives me crazy, is that people don't want to talk about this. They don't want to admit it. They want to pretend like these arranged marriages. Ask for having an arranged marriage. You look at a picture of somebody when somebody tries to hook two people up, or even, you know, the whole blind dating thing. Okay, that's great. Y'all look good together. You know, this is your type, that's your type. Y'all have the same common interests. And then you go have sex together, and it's like, oh, my God, where did you come from? You must be an alien, because I've never experienced anything so horrible. I think we place a lot on intimacy, and then sometimes we don't place enough on intimacy. But I will say this. I think you have to know whether or not what you want from the relationship, and this is the key piece, what you want from the relationship. And not everybody can be like us. James, you and I both already had this conversation. If in the bedroom it ain't happening, outside the bedroom it's just going to fall apart. But there are some people who don't need that intimacy piece. They need everything else. So you have to weigh what is more important to you. Because let's think about this. They could be two completely boring people in the bedroom. It's 5 minutes of, okay, that was great, and they're satisfied. It could be. Who says everybody needs fireworks? So if you don't need that part of the relationship, then it's not important. But if that's what you need, I say don't feel ashamed about it. Don't feel like you should, you know, not voice it or make it verbally known. It should be something that should be part of the conversation. But I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just not that person that says wait 90 days and now I'm head over heels in love with you. Everything else that I've known, that I've seen, you are so amazing. And then when we get to that level and we're committed, because I asked the Victor question, and I decide, okay, now we can move to the next level of intimacy. You do, like, I have a repeat of the horror story of my life where 2 minutes and I hear the prince, oh, and it's over.
You missed what I said earlier. Like,
yes, exactly. You remember that. I can't.
Yep.
No. I got Prince hollering in the bed. No. It's not for everybody. So I think we have to. I mean, seriously, Victor, and I know you're married, but if you were single and you met a girl, okay, we're just creating a scenario for you. And everything worked. You went through the whole dating. She's this awesome girl. You get to the point where you realize this is somebody that you want to continue to see. You want to build something with. Y'all go through the whole is, you know, so does this mean that we're committed to each other now? And she says, yeah, I'm committed to you, big love. And then y'all move to the next level. And she's like a corpse. What do you do for
me? I'm the wrong person to answer that because I've been known that the sex is great anyway. Because if she ain't good at that, she ain't be committed to shit for me. For me, I'm being honest. You know, for me, yeah, I'm talking from and I'm 52 years old, and a couple of years down the road, sex is not going to matter as much. So I understand where you're coming from. It's great to build a foundation.
You speak for yourself.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying
it's great to build a foundation because, I mean, you're right. You can go all day, but if you ain't got nothing to talk about after the sex, then that's a horrible thing too. So, that being said, coming from a 50-year-old man, which I am, I'm looking for great sex, but at the same time, I'll be looking for somebody that you can build the lifestyle with, where you see the old people and they walking around still in love. Key piece for me
right
at this point in my
life. After a while, let's be realistic. After a while, you used to be able to go out. I don't know what age, because I don't know. I don't know how long people go without, before they stop having sex. But at some point, that's not going to be the major factor. But at a certain point in your life, it's a need that needs to be fulfilled. And that's the greatest, I think, the biggest need that people have that is unfulfilled that causes people to not be committed to each other. So, I mean, I think we just kind of covered that place of, just something to think about when, it's the step four come before step three. And if step three comes, and then there's step four. How do you handle it if step four is not the greatest? And then, there's some people who can be in relationships. They care for each other. They take care of each other. And there is no intimacy. And that's admirable. That is completely admirable. Because, without giving too much information about someone that I know, there are some relationships where there is no intimacy involved at all. Okay, so I'm not even going to throw it on somebody else. I was in a relationship once where the intimacy was almost obsolete. It just didn't exist. But the emotional part that I got from that person and that person got from me was enough to sustain the relationship for a long time. It did wear off, but there was 1 through 3 was fulfilling. And I don't think step four was what, made the situation, cause it to end. But sometimes step four is not the most major factor in the whole relationship. So I think it just comes down to what it is that you need. But in a new relationship, you have to consider all four steps. So I hope that our show tonight has helped somebody. I know it gave me some insight because the Vic Love question, I'm going to have to coin that phrase for Vic Love. You don't even know, but that's going to be the Vic Love question.
Vic, I'm here. I'll tell you one thing.
You
helped a lot of people tonight. You know that, Shelly? You helped a lot of people tonight that's boyfriend in jail because of 1 to 3 they have. Then, boy, what
yeah.
Be nice to
yeah, I mean.
Hold on.
All right, Vic, you got the scarlet on glow for tonight because we coming down to this time. We gotta kind of wrap this up.
Yeah,
you
I got the scarlet
on glow.
Yeah, I got the glow. Let's go.
We all saw this one. I think this is a good one, and we gonna get to this one quick because I got a response for y'all. That's on just like where she come from with this.
Okay, let's go to scarlet on glow. This is a good one tonight, y'all. It reads. Dear Red Room, I did the bad thing, that thing we know we shouldn't do, but we do it anyway. The part that upsets me so much about the situation is I thought I knew how it would end, but the surprise was on me. I got snowed in with my ex. He called the day before the snow started and asked if I could come over and promise he would leave before the weather got too bad. Our relationship did end badly, so we have been friends for quite a while. We were better friends as friends than being in a relationship. You know exactly what happened. The snow came, and we got caught up in the moment. What surprised me was the whole weekend, we had the best sex I ever had with him. Bam, that's cool. I don't know what classes he took or books he read, but damn, he shocked my panties off all weekend. Ooh-wee, that sounds good. I must admit, bad sex was part of why we broke up. But boy, oh boy, has he stepped his game up. I knew I shouldn't have let him come over, because now I'm considering reconciliation, and so is he. Am I wrong for thinking about getting back with him? All because of a weekend of hot sex. Signed, Snow Bunny turned out. Wow. I'm going to get right on this one real quick. I'm going to get on this right quick. This is the bomb. Snow Bunny, you are Snow Bunny. I'm going to talk straight up. This is what happened. You want to let James go first? Or you want me to
No. Go ahead.
You said you wanted to go first because this is a good one.
It's going to be quick. It's simple. Snow Bunny, sometimes when the snow or rain or the weather is bad and that right person is around, your panties will be terribly wet. And I think this happens to a lot of us. We know that certain times, a reason why people are not together is always because she says here that they were not together and the relationship was bad because of bad sex. And now she had great sex with him. I think they need to reconcile and have a good sex life. That's a good story. You do your thing. Invite them over when the sun is shining and see if it feels the same way. And then you know. James, talk about this one, James.
Did he just go there, James? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. I've been put in that same predicament, Snow Bunny. I can't say that I would get back with that person, or we were never together, but I can't say that I would go back to dating that person again. But, I mean, if the opportunity came, I'd jump on it again. I mean, you know. Yeah. It's good. Made me think about a few things.
Is it my turn?
Come on, Shelly, talk about it.
Okay, my response to Snow Bunny is, you got played for the weekend, Boo Boo Kitty. Because all he did was let you know what somebody else had the time and the patience to teach him. Because if the sex was that bad, maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was you. Maybe you got played. Maybe he let you know. This is what you're missing. This is what somebody else had the time and the patience to either teach me or I learned somewhere else. Because obviously if she said the reason that their sex wasn't good, I mean, at some point, okay, everybody has to learn somewhere. Jane, Vic Love, y'all know. Y'all were not the greatest when you came out the gate. somewhere, somehow,
I can't
you
say
became.
That. I'm not going there. That sounds like a Shirley Brooks question right there.
I can't say
that. Okay, I'm just saying. Somehow, somewhere, and then first of all, you need to understand that every partner is different. You have to learn who you're with. You need to know who you can do, what you do with, how you do what you do with. Everybody is different. And if you take the same old routine, the same old style to every single partner that you've been with, all you're going to be is a boring person. So, I'm just saying.
Right.
I think she got played. Snowbunny, you definitely did get turned out. And I don't think you should reconsider getting with him because guess what? He's probably going to just take advantage of the opportunity to show you that, oh, yeah, this is what you're missing. I was able to come over there for the weekend to get snowed in probably because you cook real good and you have cable and internet and Showtime, HBO, and all the other channels. And I just didn't have anything else to do this weekend. So I knew that we were cool and we were friends, so I could at least come over to your house and not feel like I wanted to slit my throat after 2 days. And I just got the benefits to go along with it, and I got to show you, yeah, this is what I know how to do now. I think somebody got turned out, and he just wanted to let her know. You weren't all that in a bag of chips. So I think you need to just let it be what it was for the weekend, and if it was the sex that made you want to go back to being in a relationship with him. Y'all broke up for a reason. The bad sex, why didn't you teach him? Why didn't you work with him? Why didn't you let him know, well, you know, this is what I like. Let's experiment this. Let's try that. I'm sorry. If you get back with him, I just believe that you should have stayed with him in the first place. Somebody else taught him what he learned how to do. And brought back to you for that snowy weekend. Maybe it should have been you. So with that being said, Snow Bunny, at least you had a good weekend. You had a weekend of hot sex. I ain't even mad at you, girl. But I'm just saying, don't factor that one weekend into getting back together with your ex, because maybe it was just grandstanding and showing off. Because maybe next week y'all get back together and you ask that question, so are we committed to each other now? You see how easy that just comes out? Y'all see how easy that just comes out for me?
Not
happening. I just know how to ask that question. And then what if he says no? Now your feelings going to be hurt. So just Snowbunny, take it for what it was. You had great sex with an ex, somebody you had a great weekend with. It didn't work out before. Just let it go and keep it moving. I'm sorry. Nobody. I'm glad you had a great weekend.
Just let it go. You said he shocked my panties off. That's, wow.
Yeah, he shocked my panties off.
He shocked my panties off.
I bet you one thing, he wasn't the only one whose panties he shocked off. Because if he shocked her panties off after boring sex, can you imagine what he did for somebody else? Maybe, like I said, maybe he came over there for her house because he knew when he called and said, I'll leave before the snow comes. So damn well he knew what he was doing. First of all, obviously, you probably had plenty of groceries. He knew you had gone to the grocery store and stocked up on toilet paper, paper towels, bread, lunch meat, all of the snacks and fun to eat. He knew you had cable, you had all of the extra channels. The HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, all of
that was the best thing, and anybody left for that. Some cables just enough sometimes for these boys.
Thank you. He knew.
You got basic channels. They ain't got nothing.
Right.
They listen to
he knew he was not going to have to go over her house and watch ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. He knew.
Wait a minute.
He knew she was.
Am I Snow Bunny?
What? See? I'm just saying.
You know, just happened to my weekend.
I wasn't Snow Bunny.
How was you doing with snow?
I'm not mad at Snow Bunny because at least she ain't get snowed in with no excitement, but that's cool too. I'm just saying, just enjoy that weekend for what it was, Snow Bunny, and let it go. Keep it moving. Y'all just be friends. Just pretend it didn't happen. Thank you.
No, wait till the weather's bad again and call them again. You're coming over. You got cable.
You're coming over, Daddy.
You're coming over because you got cable, baby.
Nobody got extra panties that need to be knocked off or shocked off. What did she say? He shocked.
Knock off for that.
He shocked my panties off. Seriously? Chick, you know you ain't even wearing no underwear for the whole weekend.
Have
a life together and stop complaining. All right, y'all. It's time for us to go. I am so glad that I came into the Red Room with y'all tonight, too. I was so missed last week just having to sit back and listen. Again, we had another amazing show. Next week, we're going to do it again. Big love, James. Y'all are so totally awesome. For all of our listeners who listen in, I'm telling y'all, tonight we had a show that nobody was, nobody wanted to speak because I think it was just like, wow, what do I
too
say?
Too much to handle.
Yes, it was too much to handle, and that's okay. But I know our archive listeners the show that we did last week and the week before. Hey, guys, do y'all understand? I have to say this before we go. Last week's show was impromptu, and it was the Red Room Random Rant. When I looked at the numbers, it was like, it's almost like we need to do a once-a-month random rant because the numbers just were, like, amazing. So, again, I thank y'all for last week because we kept the doors open and people were there to listen. So I thank our listeners. We have an amazing following, and I so appreciate that. So when we get to our next level, I already know that we're going to actually be able to just expand the audience to a whole nother level. So I thank you. I've done enough talking for tonight. Victor, James, one of y'all, close us out. This is your host, Shelly L. Brooks. I'm signing off. I love you guys, and I will see you next week, hopefully with a better voice. But even if it sounds the same, I will be back in the Red Room with you again. Mwah. I love you, and I see you next week.
Hey, Shelly.
All right.
I just peeped something. I mean, it's an old message, but we have somebody who would like to be a guest on our show, and he had a ebook come up called Love and Football. So we definitely need to get in contact with this person and find out if they're still interested. I think this would be a great conversation piece for another show.
Absolutely.
I love love and I love football. Is he single?
It's an old message, you know, and if they're listening, we do apologize for not getting back to you sooner. We're all very, very busy people, but we're definitely going to try to get in touch with this person at some point the next couple of days to find out if they're still interested in being on the show.
That is so awesome, yes, definitely. I'm looking forward to that one. Would it be a Super Bowl weekend? Ooh, yes. Love
awesome.
Football. Please, definitely.
All right. That sounds good. All right, everybody. This is Big Love. But you know, the Red Room. Stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff going on. We got our awesome Shelly L. Brooks, my main man James, and I'm Big Love. And remember, if your phone ain't on the Red Room, your phone is not really on. Good night, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Bob. Later, guys.
Later.